Hey, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Chris. We're the hosts of True Believers, a comic book podcast, our weekly show about all things comics.
Welcome to episode 28 of True Believers. Last week, we read Something is Killing the Children, volumes 3 and 4. And this week, we read Excellence, volumes 1, Kill the Past, and volume 2, The Present Tense, by Brandon Thomas, Carrie Randolph, and Emilio Lopez.
Spencer Dales was born into a world of magic. His father belongs to the Aegis, a secret society of Black magicians ordered by their unseen masters to better the lives of others of higher potential, but never themselves. Now it's time for Spencer to follow in his father's footsteps, but all he sees is a broken system in need of someone with the wand and the will to change it. But in this fight for a better future, who will stand beside him?
I love that description. That is such a good description of this because it's just vague enough, you know?
Yes.
That it really works.
Okay. So when we get into the world of excellence, first of all, what do you think about excellence?
Excellence, I loved. I only have really two criticisms with this, which you may or may not agree with. I really don't know. But my only real criticism with this is, you know how like in nearly every single issue, it would be like 12 minutes later, 6 hours later, 14 minutes earlier. Like it was such a weird thing to do. So I didn't like that in particular.
Time jump.
The one that was like, yeah, it just wasn't for me. There was like a 6 months later, and I was like, okay, that one makes sense. But all the other ones, like
the 20 minutes. Oh, where he was fighting the overseer?
Yeah. And then, you know how it would be like, okay, one thing's happening right now, but also across the world, if something's happening over here. So we'll just switch panels between people. Those are the only things I really didn't like about this. But everything, this story is so well put together, and there is so much depth to it. It is incredible. It's like a really good story.
I think the depth goes even further than you realize. I'm only going to say it one time because you're white. Happy Black History Month, everybody. Are you familiar with the concept of the Talented Tenth?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So for everybody who doesn't know, the World of Excellence, when it opens up, it tells you that they're the original 10 magic families, the 10th, and they're constantly referred to throughout the course of the story. The Talented Tenth, direct from Wikipedia, straight up plagiarism, is a term that designated a leadership class of African descendant Americans in the early 20th century. The term was created by white Northern philanthropists, then publicized by W.E.B. Du Bois in an influential essay of the same name, which he published in September 1903. It appeared in The Negro Problem, a collection of essays written by leading African Americans. The Talented Tenth refers to 1 in 10 Black men that have cultivated the ability to become leaders of the Black community by acquiring college education, writing books, and becoming directly involved in social change. In The Talented Tenth, Du Bois argues that these college-educated African-American men should sacrifice their personal interests and use their education to lead and better the Black community.
Right. And then you kind of know what these, like the parallels of what this 10 is and what that 10 is, you know what I mean?
Especially
so whenever you start off reading about that.
And especially the Dales are seen as leaders among the only good term I can think of is magistocracy, but it's from Neo-Yokio. So I'm sorry for laughing. If you've ever seen Neo-Yokio, it's this show where Jaden Smith is like a pink-haired magician. But yeah, so Spencer is a quiet revolutionary. He starts first, he's was late to get his magical talent, like years later than everybody else. He becomes a whatever you call those people who were leaders. They had names. It wasn't Proctor. It was a name.
I can't remember.
So yeah. He gets his station that his father's protege, Aaron, has had for years, like years later than everybody else with the same station. And because the Dales are the most respected family in the 10th, everybody is saying, first of all, they said that the boy might not even be his. Mr. Dale said that, like he heard him say it when he was a little kid.
Yeah.
He was like, that might be the end of our line. And his mom was like, man, if you don't shut the hell up.
And it's all because he was just he didn't develop his powers. Cause I read like a little sub note somewhere that they get their powers at around the age of 5 or something like that. And by then he wasn't showing any signs of magic really.
So they were like, this can't be my kid. Till like middle school. I know his father didn't really believe that, but the audacity to say it in his mom's face like that, we would have been swinging.
It was like, he was mad obviously, but he put like the magic first before his kid, which obviously becomes a problem. But yeah.
And Spencer outright tells us at the beginning that this is more of a story about fathers and sons than it is about anything else, which it leads for some interesting interactions between both him and his father, and also him and Aaron, the man that his father sees as like a second son.
So question is, like, Mr. Dale, Spencer's dad, like, he's obviously like one of the most powerful, whatever, but is he just like teaching other kids every year? Is that what his thing is? Or is it just he chose Aaron and Spencer's obviously his son, so he's teaching, I think, Spencer?
He just chose Aaron and was teaching him. I know at some point in volume two, they do show that he is like teaching a workshop for young magicians, but that's not his primary focus. What I think is so interesting about the Aegis is that only men are allowed to learn magic. Like, it's forbidden for women to learn magic. And
yeah, that was fucked up.
The funniest part about this, like, the reason why it was so funny to me, do you know what the most educated demographic in the United States is?
Black woman. I do know that.
Yes. Like, the fact that I don't know. And that women are at the forefront of every major social movement. It was just so funny to me to read that. I was like, oh, I got.
I think that's exactly why they did that. Because, like I said, this has a lot of depth to it. And they knew exactly everything that they were doing. Like, it was on purpose. You could tell. So I think that's a good reason why.
The biggest depth was the fact that how long did it take you to realize that the Aegis was being like, the people behind the curtains were like evil white people? You told me it was like really late.
Well, there was this overseer in particular when I told you, because I was like, wait, this man's the KKK. This is because he's got a pointy head. Because I was just kind of zooming through at first, just reading, you know, getting the vibe. And then I was like, wait a minute. I know what this is.
Let me flip back.
It's this giant white thing with the pointy head and it has blue eyes. And I was like, oh my God, I know what that is. But how long did I take to figure out it was white people? I thought at first, because Spencer says something in like the first volume somewhere along the lines that he's like, this is just us helping white people along the way. And I was like, okay, well, he's only helped white people so far. So I thought that's what this was. But no, it is literally just them with helping all the white people in charge.
The funniest part about this is that he was like, I thought the same thing at first. I was like, so he only gets like white people to guard. And he's just, I thought he was just upset about that. Cause I'd be like, dang, I can't help nobody black. Nobody. And then I was like, and then Aaron fell in love with that white girl. And I was like, oh my God. So it really is only white people.
Right.
And
and
you notice they have anti-miscegenation laws. So they're like, you cannot be with these charges. No race mixing here.
Yeah, so the whole thing is literally that they can't be seen. They have like cloaks, so they're not seen by normal people or whatever. But their goal is literally to just help white people be successful. That's what their whole job
is. To keep the white plan in place. Like, they have like their own like adjustment bureau type situation. They have to pass these tests. Like, it's crazy. And Spencer,
it's like, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, and it's like they don't start off this strong, so it like slowly gets more and more like you can tell what's happening, and it gets aggressive. We're learning about
his trials, his like the different kinds of magic. We learned that it's legal to cast magic without to cast magic without a wand, and it's not illegal, it's just frowned upon, and it's legal to make your own wand because they said these like fake wands can be addictive and you'll die. Yeah.
Once you like are gradually learning how aggressive these laws are, and it becomes very clear that something is just not right with this power structure at all.
It took me a very short amount of time. I was like, I saw the overseer one time. I was like, ah, oh, some evil white people run this, huh? That's
the fact that it's literally like a clan cloak. And I was like, it took like, cause it wasn't pretty late in the game when I was like, wait a minute. Oh, it's so stupid.
Like, it got to maybe like issue 3 or 4 for me where I looked at it and was like, hold on now. But if you even look at the four walls or whatever, like the four tenets of their philosophy or society, I mean, it's number one, the protection and defense of the underserving is not allowed. When they said who the underserving was, I was like, who's the underserving? Ah, the ethnics. Mm-hmm. The creation of a magician's wand without permission is not allowed. I was like, ah, good way to control people, keep them regulated. 3, the casting of spells without an approved wand is not allowed. And Spencer can cast magic, like his grandmother even tells him, like, you're part of the tent. We are the most powerful, period. He can cast magic without a wand, and he does it during his trial. I was like, okay, see that? And number 4, the use of magic by females is not allowed. And I was like, ooh, not females. Not y'all out here saying females like Quark. Not y'all sounding like Ferengi from Star Trek.
The thing is, Spencer's mom is like doing magic on the low throughout this entire thing. And I was like, oh, Spencer's mom. But that is not one bitch to fuck with, is what we quickly figure out.
Because, okay, so the whole first volume, like his grandmother is something, I think they said she had like a stroke or something. But anyway, she's in a vegetative state and she's pretty much catatonic. So he tries to steal some forbidden information from the Aegis. And he gets caught, like, and he gets Aaron caught too, because Aaron is trying to stop him. His dad is like, hey, his dad sent Aaron, and he's like, you know, please help my son. And so they end up, well, Aaron gets tortured. Spencer finds out that he can have his magic taken away. And then they both end up, I don't remember what Aaron's punishment was. Oh, his punishment was following some low level, which is this white girl he ends up falling in love with when he goes to jail. Well, he falls in love with the white girl. They were trying to run off to be together. Then he goes to jail. Spencer's was that he had to be an old rent-a-cop head ass. Like, he out here tracking people down. He's like, okay, yeah.
And there's that too. These punishments are made for like humiliation, because they send Spencer. They send Spencer to go get his quote unquote brother Aaron. Like, these are literally just made for humiliation to keep you in line.
Well, actually, no, that punishment wasn't for humiliation. His father did that. He was trying to save Aaron. He was like, listen, I need you to go get him. And he was like, Spencer was like, how dare you ask me to help the boy you replaced me with? And then they have, when I tell you, these two upstanding young black men, they start fighting. They was wilding out. Like, first of all, Aaron, he wasn't even really trying to fight Spencer like that. And then Spencer was like, nah, we fighting. Spencer has this unbridled rage in him.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. He definitely developed some rage throughout the years because of his detachment from his father, emotional detachment. Because there's a lot going on with Mr. Dale. There's just a lot.
And they mentioned it several times before this, that Spencer is like filled with anger. And I was like, oh, where's this going to go? And then he starts beating Aaron's ass into the concrete. And I'm sitting there like, because what can you say to all this?
Do what?
Because what can you say to all this?
You can't, because whenever his rage comes out, obviously his magic is coming out like in full force. So he just beats the shit out of Aaron.
I mean, and Aaron was getting as good as he got, because they both ended up in the hospital. But he hulked out.
Yeah, exactly. Hold on, that's a good way to say it. And he even blew off like half of Aaron's face at first, but you know, they're magic, so they fix it. But just shit.
You know that R. Kelly meme? I'm fighting for my motherfucking life. That was Aaron.
That was Aaron, because he was just like, okay, I can take you on. We can, like, it's not going to be a good fight, but it's going to be a clean fight, you know?
No, it's not going to be a clean fight, but it's going to be a
It was not clean.
Because they when I tell you everything they could fight each other with, they was. And apparently in the Aegis, like any spell you turn onto another member of the Aegis, it turns back onto you. So that's why they have stronger people out here chasing down the criminals, because they know if they cast any spell on them, they can withstand the spell that they cast that's been flipped onto them as well.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? Like, just it bounces back, especially because of like what we learned in the second volume about what happened and whatever. Like, I was thinking about that heavy in the second volume, and his spell just bounces right the fuck back.
I was sitting there like, damn, sucks. So, and then I don't even know how to explain, because this fight was like reading Something Is Killing the Children, where you're like, hold on, no, something occurred and I was not okay with that. And then Spencer wakes up, and his narration over this scene is so good, because he was like, man, as I was fighting Aaron, I started thinking, this was a man I was supposed to see like my brother. Like, I was like, dang. And then he was like, he stole my father away from me. And then Aaron says something, he's like, you know what, you know, you do all this crying and whining, but at least you had a father. And I was like, dang, Aaron ain't got no daddy. We learned too much about his life throughout like this weird exposition, and I'm sitting there like,
Well, during this fight, in like a Harry Potter type of fashion, their wands connect via spell, and then they get each other's memories, which was kind of a weird thing. Because can you imagine like picking up all of my memories on accident? Like,
I don't want any of your memories. My mind is pure.
No, because there's even that moment where it's like, oh, he really loved this girl, and he sees them like making love, and I was like, okay.
First of all, and it's not like he's just in the memories; like, he's not even just like experiencing them. Like, he'd be standing there. So you standing there, your full body at the foot of the bed, watching them get booty.
Exactly. I don't want nothing like that. But so yeah, that's why he's like, okay, Aaron's life was actually kind of hard. Like, I was looking at him kind of like an enemy, but an adversary.
Like,
he shouldn't really have been. But he shouldn't have been, you know, we could have been teammates this whole time.
And the even crazier part is that Aaron is experiencing Spencer's memories, and he was like, damn, this is kind of fucked up.
was so funny.
Just because, like, they're just standing there.
Yeah, and he's like, damn, this is how Spencer really felt about me. Like, I thought we was kind of cool a little bit.
But... he's like, I didn't think we were cool, but I at least thought he would, you know, spit on me.
I don't know if he hated me. Right. Oh, man, that was funny, though.
And the even funnier part is that they both wake up in the hospital. Obviously, Aaron, you going to jail now. They both look beat to hell. And Mrs. Dales is there. Spencer's entire face is swollen. So I know Aaron got them heavyweight hands, per. And his mom is like, boy, when they told me you did that to Aaron, I was like, surely not. You have me confused, something wrong. And then they have a whole good conversation, or they start to, and he was like, wait, where is my dad? I know my dad is not at it's the bedside of the dude I was just fighting for my life.
Literally, like, this emotional trauma that he has from his father is a lot.
I want to be, like, it is so heavy. Because there's absolutely no reason. Like, I know, obviously, like, Spencer had been asleep for a lot longer, like, and Aaron was awake. It didn't make sense that he would want to go be with Aaron, especially because Aaron doesn't have anybody. But, like, and he does need to, like, question him. And Aaron is going to jail, very much going to jail.
All because he fell in love with the white lady, too.
I mean, that was his choice.
That's why he's going to jail. That's like, that's the big crime right there. Like, their rules were just so.
Somebody called Dr. Umar on him, because I was sitting up like, once I read they really had anti-miscegenation laws, it confirmed it for me. I was like, definitely ran by some evil white people. And when it got confirmed, when I was sitting there watching him put on his spiritual KKK, well, take off his spiritual KKK robes, and he was just a regular white guy, and they showed all his, like, evil white ancestors, and one of them was Donald Trump. I was like, what?
Oh, that was so funny. That's when I had to stop reading for a good minute. I screenshotted that, and I sent it to you, and I was like, I know this isn't who I think it is. But yeah, so he goes to jail, and Mr. Dale is, again, like, a really huge, powerful member of this organization. So he gives him, like, the best prison. I was like, this man's kind of living it up right now. Like
it's a nice little prison. But he had a prison apartment, like, instead of a prison cell. So, you know, good for him. But this incident and, like, everything that he's learned from Aaron, and then coupled with the fact that his father tells him in the hospital, like, look, what happened to your grandmother wasn't random. Like, somebody did that to get back at me, and, like, because they know that I care about my family. They couldn't touch your mom, and we found out in volume 2 why they couldn't touch the mom, and they couldn't touch Spencer because Spencer is part of their future, but they could get at his mom. And Spencer is like, I'm tearing it down. So volume 2, we follow Spencer as, like, a revolutionary. He's like, listen, this whole organization, it needs to crumble. And volume 2 is called not the present tense, like, what's happening now. It's like tension in the presence.
Because I was going to say that too. Like, it really steps up on the activity happening. Like, it gets crazy in volume 2. It starts off really strong, because that's when it starts off with the 6 months later kind of thing. Like, he walks away, he's learning shit, and then 6 months later, he's learned a lot in 6 months.
Like, he has stashed boxes of, like, we knew this from, like, volume 1 where he was visiting his grandmother, but he has, like, little stash boxes of unauthorized wands all over the city. He's using them to, like, wake up his grandmother briefly, like, for as long as he's able to, and, like,
oh my god, yeah.
And, like, he's like, I'm working on it, and then I got you, and return her back to say, we find out that he's been cloning himself. He got, like, 3 different copies. We meet some more of his friends. Like, his father has, I did not commit her name to memory, I'm so sorry, but his father has, Monique, I did commit her name to memory, a woman who works for him. She's his secretary, and he starts teaching her a little bit of magic, and even though it's unauthorized, because he wants her to follow Spencer, and she ends up getting caught in his crusade. He has another friend who works at the little magical prison, who gets caught up in his crusade too. These people, sometimes they don't even know they're involved, which is crazy.
Yeah, because he's 18 at this point. He turns 19 halfway through this, but he's 18 and he's smart. Like, this man is brilliant. The things that he's doing, the way he's finessing this system.
Did you ever watch the show?
It's crazy. Revenge. I don't think so.
Okay, it's based on The Count of Monte Cristo, and it's about this white lady. You know Emily Van Camp from Captain America? Yeah. Okay. So this white girl, ironically, her name is Emily. Her father like gets sent to jail for like being a terrorist, but like these other rich white people, including that lady from Last of the Mohicans, the beautiful one, they set the dad up and he never did it, but he agrees to take the blame so that she like her life wouldn't be trashed or they wouldn't kill her or something. And then basically her life was like shitty the whole time. And so she comes up with a plan. It's like some, it really is some kind of Monte Cristo shit where she has this elaborate plan to take these people down. She starts dating their son, becomes engaged to them. And she, every chance she could take, she's moving through society. She's using politics. She is destroying these people's lives inside out. And she like never stops.
I see what you're getting at. Yeah, definitely.
Or like, it's like Power. Ironically, I think Michael Rainey would be a good person to play Spencer. Like, if you watch Power Book 2, you know, Tyreek and him, you will understand, Andrew. I guess it's for black people.
But no, that's exactly what you were saying. Because he's politically kind of manipulating the system. And he's obviously physically and magically manipulating the system. He knows every step of what he's doing. He's always like 2-3 steps ahead of everybody until at one point. But,
and then you find out he visits Aaron like every or like several times every week. And I was like, why? And then they're like, yeah, Aaron refuses to see him. And then when they finally show him visiting the prison, he's following he like is making copies of himself, becoming invisible. One copy is sitting in the waiting room, and the invisible version of himself is following his friend into the prison, going up to Aaron's cell. He's literally putting memory spells on Aaron every time and releasing them so that Aaron can work with him in his quest to destroy the Aegis.
That's insane. That is so like smart, you know, and he's only 18 again.
Tyreek St. Patrick so bad. Courtney Kemp would freak this. If they ever want to turn this into a TV show, Netflix, get Courtney Kemp. Y'all already got to deal with her. Courtney and Brandon, they got this.
This would be a really good show, honestly, if they did it right. Because this is a deep, deep story.
I think it would make a better animation than live action, but if they did do a live action, they should get some of the production people who worked on The Magicians, and they should get Courtney Kemp.
Yeah, I would definitely be interested in that. But yeah, so like you just said, he's doing all the memory charms and whatever.
And like, he's spent time learning.
He knows so much magic in this 6 months. It's insane.
And then several times we find out where he's getting because Aaron is helping him by writing things because their memories are connected or they become connected when they get close to each other. And they still are experiencing everybody's memories. We find out that Spencer has an eidetic memory. So everything that he reads, he remembers. Mm-hmm. And he's going into the archives of the Aegis and they're writing everything down. So he's developing his own library of magic, which is how he's improved so much because he knows spells that nobody else, you're not allowed to remove anything from the library. So all of the knowledge is there. It's making you control what you see. And people are watching him, but he never does anything. Like, people watch him, but they can't find any evidence of him doing anything.
Yeah, he covers it up well because with his little clones, too, they think that they have the right clone half the time, but they never do. So they're following real Aaron, quote unquote, or Prime Aaron is what they called it.
No, Spencer.
Prime Spencer. They're following Prime Spencer. Prime Aaron is in jail. Yeah, Prime Aaron's in jail. That bitch stays in jail for a minute. But yeah, so it's crazy. Like, he's outsmarting them even with his clones, and they're all like, we know, we're smarter than this kid. But are you, though? Because they never were.
You aren't. And then, so other people, other members of the 10th, like, I think the man's name is Hill? Name's Hill?
I think so.
Yeah,
so we'll say Hill.
He's the overseer who, like, that looks like some KKK robe shit. He starts telling him, and he's like, "We need to get a handle on Spencer Dale's problem." And he finally gets Spencer caught up, and he's like, "Hey, we're in this interrogation room." Spencer's like, "This ain't no real interrogation because they wouldn't do this. They wouldn't do this, and they wouldn't do this." He was like, "Yeah, but how do I know people aren't going to be looking to you as a leader? And then you'll spill all your secrets and you'll do this and get all your people hemmed up." He said young people, he said something, I wish I had screen capped it, because he was like, young people always think they're the first people to do some shit. Like, y'all always think y'all the first ones. And I was like, well, what have y'all done? Cricket, because Mr.
I thought that too.
Scared. He's like terrified of the Aegis. Like, And he's one of the most powerful members. So I'm like, what did y'all try? What happened to y'all that has y'all so shook?
Yeah, exactly. I was wondering, I mean, we'll find out in a little bit, but like, I was wondering the same thing. I was like, what are they doing to you guys? They're obviously ruling with intimidation. That part's clear, but like, something heavier has to happen before that point. You know what I mean?
Like, and clearly y'all all, because they all want to further their magical legacy and like the legacy of their family, they all have a vulnerability.
Yeah, even exactly.
Even his father, who was the worst dad ever.
Yeah, I know. This man was a terrible father.
Mr. Dale's
I don't so even shitty. Feel bad for him. Even though when we learned some of his backstory, I still didn't feel that bad for him.
It's like, damn, so you really didn't learn from anything that you learned, and you were like the shittiest father you could possibly be.
Exactly. And he knows that he's a shitty father too. Like, he's like, okay, well, yeah, I did this to you, but like, also, what about the magic, you know?
It's just the fact that they even address it in Volume 2 that their relationship is almost damaged beyond repair, because they always thought they would have more time to reconnect with each other, and then there was a bridge too far for them to cross. And I was like, damn, huh? It do be like that. And then also Mr. Dales tried to, I don't remember what he tried to make him forget or try and get into his mind, but he was like, you just tried to violate my mind? Are you crazy?
He tried to like make it so that way he didn't remember what he was doing, like all this revolutionary stuff, because he's like, I don't want you hurt, Spencer.
He's like,
ooh,
that was the last straw. You
yeah, he's like, you trying to get in my memories? Yeah, no, I get that though. Like,
we done. We are done.
That's so shitty.
You know,
but so
you
yeah,
remember,
back to the interrogation.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. No, you go
when,
ahead.
When Young Justice came back for, was it season two? No, it was season three, right? Whichever one where Miss Martian is, she's dating that Lagoon boy or whatever. They revealed that her and Superboy had broke up because she tried to alter his memory. And I was like, the fact that I know that they got back together and apparently they're like married now in that show. I'm like, I'm glad I just decided to stop watching it, because y'all, what did y'all smoke before y'all thought that was?
That's daddy? Like just a huge violation. And at least Spencer realized it. He was like, fuck you, daddy. I'm not coming back. Daddy. But yeah.
So they big beef, you know? And then we see the evolution of Spencer's plans. We see him, like, he's really like, okay, something went wrong. So he had to launch his plan earlier than expected.
He was in the library getting more, like, spells, notes, or whatever. And he found, like, what was it, wanted posters? Or
yes,
there was a different word for it.
They said they were, like, some kind of dissidents. And then he found one for, it was a burnt out face and a name. I think it's Amari. That's
Amari, yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing Amari is that Nails. Got me is like the librarian people start attacking, and the library people are all women. And I was like, oh, so these ones are okay. But like the ones that y'all allow are okay to guard your secrets. But other women can't learn magic.
And first of all, why are these nuns attacking people in the library? I was like, what?
No, they came out of nowhere. He's like, shit, I should have seen this coming. Because they really did come out of nowhere. They got his ass real quick.
And there was three of them, too. So it was like when you got to fight the X-Men and you getting jumped.
That's the funniest part, too. Because like I said, they came out of nowhere. And they just started beating the shit
from
out of
all sides. And they were blowing up tables. They tossing the books aside. They like, oh, we got your ass today, Spencer.
I know. And it's all, yeah. Poor Spencer, man. So that's all I can say for that.
He has to launch his attack. Oh, and all his allies get captured at the same time. Like, Monique is captured. His friend from the prison is captured. They're all being tortured as well. And then Mr. Hill
was torturing them.
I was confused. The overseer. And Hill was sitting there watching. And, like, yeah. Eventually, though, Spencer comes to fight the overseer. It doesn't quite go well. But Mr. Hill jumps in to stop him from being killed and, like, gives himself up to him. We see the backstory that Spencer's father helped him, Mr. Hill, when Spencer was a young, like, a boy. His wife did something, and they were going to send her to jail, and I guess Mr. Dales fixed it. So he was like, nah, I owe you. And plus, this is for the next generation. We don't burn the system down. I was like, period, Mr. Hill, period, period.
Yeah.
But Spencer is like, somebody knows how to make these wands, and I bet you my uncle Amari that I've never heard of in wherever is gonna be the one. It was a burnt out face, so he didn't know. So they're like, we gotta make sure Spencer Dales doesn't get out of the city. Meanwhile, Spencer already on the bus. Spencer was in where they're like North Carolina or something. Spencer was gone, baby, gone.
Spencer taught himself how to fly briefly. I'm using that term kind of loosely, because that flying was kind of crazy. But he like learned how to fly all the way across the country
real quick. He went on the bus.
No, he definitely flew because he caused a crater that she saw, or Amari saw.
No. He got off the bus and then he did something else.
Oh, so he didn't fly across the country. He definitely was flying. He flew from somewhere,
but he tried to do some kind of spell and then he ended up in the crater to find Amari. And then he gets out of that crater and she was like, so you gonna fix this? And he was like, and then she uses magic and like fixes the everything back to normal. And then he's like,
his dumbass. He was like, fix a hole in the street that already has a lot of holes. Why would I do that? He said some stupid shit like that.
I was like, so you want to get beat up. People honestly, care about right. their communities. Because if I saw that in front of my house, the way I would have stomped you out, I'd have been like, nah.
So how are you going to come here disrespecting my neighborhood? You know what I mean?
Exactly. And then she's like, she's like, okay. So she just starts fixing it. And she's like, mad. And then he's like, hey, do you know an Amari Dales? My name is Aaron Mills, and he's the uncle of my friend. And then she's like, y'all can't be too good of friends because she's his aunt.
I don't even think she said that. She did say that. Oh, no, like, you're right. Yeah. Exactly. She was like, Amari's a girl. Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, she's the friend. Meanwhile, this is Amari. And then he like follows her all around the city. She's like, yeah, I'll take you to her home. Follows her all around this little neighborhood and she's using magic, like she's growing crops and she's fixing people's houses and they're like improving the community.
She's just radiating power is what's happening, honestly.
And he's like, everywhere like, but she women goes. Aren't allowed to use magic, and she's like, and yet I am.
She's like, are you gonna tell on me? Like, what are you gonna
do? What you gonna do? Who you gonna
tell? He didn't even fix the street, you know?
Which bitch ass, yeah. So he like walks up to this gigantic house. It looked nice out. And then she's like, oh, you just got to go through. There's a barrier. And so he walks through the barrier. And so does she. And she's like, okay, so how you doing, Spencer? And then he was like, what? And she's like, yeah, I'm Amari. And also, if you were my family, you wouldn't have been able to come into the house. So I knew who you were. And also, you look exactly like my brother. And I'm not stupid. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It was just like, she was like, yeah, I might be some dumb, but I'm not plumb dumb. Anyway, and it made me laugh so hard. The best part about this whole scenario is that Amari starts dropping the rest of the lore that I was so curious about. Because clearly, mm-hmm. they said women must not be allowed to do magic, but it doesn't say that they can't. And we've seen them. We've seen Mrs. Dales do magic. We've seen Monique do magic. We've obviously seen the three nuns at the library.
Grandma was doing magic, you know, period. Everybody.
Like, so they can, clearly. So I'm like,
they're all using, yeah, right, exactly. But they're all using wandless magic, with the exception of Monique, which is also not allowed. Mrs. Dales has a wand. Yeah, but she was sitting there, like, when she was making her coffee and her tea and whatever, and even when Spencer was a baby, she was just waving her hand around because she could.
Yeah,
because one thing you're not going to say is shit to Mrs. Dales.
Period. And one thing about Mrs. Dales, she keep that thing on her. Think she don't have a wand if you want to. But you don't come up and close and personal with it.
I'm just saying, Mrs. Dales radiates power too. She does. And it's like casual magic too. And still, like, you don't want to fuck with this bitch. You don't.
And Amari starts telling Spencer about their revolution. She said that magic was kind of dying out, so they decided to the upper echelons of the Aegis, they let women girls start practicing magic. And she said there was one among us who was the greatest sorceress of an age, like she was like the greatest in her generation, and we called her the Absolute. And and they had us do all their dirty work for them, and then they just took magic back. They were like, nope, you're not needed anymore. And so we were expected to go back to how things were before. So of course we started a revolution, and I was like, purr, as you should. And she starts describing how hard it got, how they were threatened, how Spencer's father became weary, and he was no mm-hmm. more, no more. And she said he couldn't stand to let anything happen to her. And I was like, what happened to who? And then he's like, Spencer's like, oh my God, you're not the Absolute. And she's like, oh, because they said they had the Absolute and then all the other girls who were almost just as good, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, nah, I was good. I'm still good, but I was never the Absolute. And then guess who they showed?
Oh, what was her name? Fuck.
It was Mrs. Dales.
Thank you. Thank Mrs. Dale. That, how did I just forget her name as I was just talking about how much of a bad bitch she is?
Not just a bad bitch, the bad bitch. Because we find out, essentially, since we were talking about American Horror Story, like right before we started recording, she's the supreme. Like, she is that girl.
Quite literally. Like, nobody can top her.
She's the absolute, ever. Period. And she misses, and she Spencer is like crying because he's like, oh my God, my mother. That's the one person you have to be worried about, because your father can be Cal. Your mother is a G.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing too, like Mr. Dale is super powerful, but the absolute is the mother, and he's got both of their powers, like Spencer does. Like,
no wonder why he was a late starter.
Yeah, he's insanely powerful. He just don't know yet, like he's still learning, but like I just have a feeling. Yeah, this man, I mean, okay, yeah, because unfortunately I thought this was going to kind of wrap up by issue 12, but it didn't.
Oh, apparently it's still going, ongoing. So maybe eventually we'll have another excellence episode. But Mrs. Dale's, we didn't even mention what she did, because she's just in her home by the mantle, and all of a sudden her eyes light up, and she said, and she turns around and like blasts a hole in the wall. And she's like, I see you, overseer. I was like, period. And that's how we end.
Yes, I know. It ends on, and well, even before that, Mr. Dale's goes to Spencer, is it like his apartment or something?
Yes. We forgot that part. Yeah, he goes to Spencer's apartment. They pull him out of his workshop that he's teaching, and they're like, yeah, his front door is asking for you. And then he gets like, it's like a trap. He ends up in like a labyrinth. He's in his own
memory
mind.
Thing. Yeah.
And Spencer is like trying to get them to understand each other. But I was like, I don't know if that'll ever work. Your dad seems pretty closed off.
That's exactly why it was a good trap.
The baddest bitch. The absolute baddest bitch to ever live. Literally.
So, so good. But that just shows how like smart and powerful Spencer is at this point, at only 19 years old, you know. Like, he trapped his father, who's supposed to be one of the most powerful magicians, or what do they call them, sorcerers?
Yeah, the fact that Mr. Dale's dumbass actually, touched the door. You dumb. Yeah,
he's also, Mr. Dale does have a little bit of arrogance to him. Like, oh, nobody's going to stop me, you know, like, I can do what I want.
Look at you, stopped.
By your son, your 19-year-old son. Because, I don't know, this is such a, like, it ended on such a strong note, too, with the...
With the fucking clan member overseer. Yeah. I was like, yes.
Like, it's, I'm really disappointed that this didn't have a resolution, because I wanted to see where this was going. I wanted to see Spencer take these people down. Yeah.
Burn this bitch down.
Oh man. And if we had more time, there is so much depth to every single one of these characters we talked about. Like, you can't even, we would need like a 7-hour episode for this, just to talk about these characters.
And right now, because, we're going to wrap it up. I have one last thing that I want to say. It's a quote from the author. It's a fragmented quote. This is like the last part, and then I'm going to say the first part. One of the major themes of excellence is how the characters are not acknowledged by the public at large, that they are virtually unseen, invisible men and women. Our jobs as creators are to make sure our voices are heard through our actions. We are screaming at you to recognize us. And I was like, period. And then this one, I started crying because I was thinking about how it took like years. It was years of my life, years of reading comic books before I had ever read a comic book about a Black person written by another Black person. And the way that the people in this story, the way they interact with each other, the way that they speak to each other, the way that they see and acknowledge each other, it was so reminiscent of my own experience. It's the thing that reminds you that you're not alone in the world, which is crazy. And I was glad to experience that from this comic book about magic. Second quote, being Black is about understanding that what you do, it's not just about you. It's about what you represent. You have a responsibility to not just represent yourself, but your Black, your borough, your community, your race. It's not right and it's not fair, but it is what it is. We all learn about this responsibility early on. They will always think that you are less than. Good isn't good enough. You must be great. We didn't work this hard to get you here for you to throw it all away. You made it out. You better represent. Being Black, the weight of the world is on your shoulders, and every day is shoulder day. And I was like, too, because that is what being an ageist is. You essentially, first of all, I'm not going to be out here being somebody magic slave. So let's just start there. And third of all, you know, the term magic Negro, the trope where like the mystical Black person is there to help the,
oh yeah, yeah,
the stupid white people. You know who coined that phrase?
No, I actually don't.
Spike Lee.
Who did?
Spike Lee.
Oh.
I just found this out. And like, you know, when something like completely takes you by surprise, because like, I'm, oh my God, Spike Lee. And then I was like, oh my God, Spike Lee. Makes perfect sense. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Yeah, I know. The story is great. Like I said, there's so many levels to it, and each character has so much depth to them. And this is only two volumes. Like,
it's only 12 issues.
Yeah, it is so good. And I cannot wait. Oh, we didn't even go over the art. That's a whole other
set. And the art is gorgeous. Like, everything is so, it's so very African. It's giving the entire diaspora.
The magic itself, the way that it's all illustrated, is so good. Like, it's not a typical, like, boom flashy magic bullshit, you know. It has like, you can see the importance in every spell that's being cast too, you know what I mean?
That makes sense. The subtlety, the excellence, the power that this has, the fact that I'm gonna say hashtag Black Girl Magic, the fact that they are essentially functioning as the magic negro in these white people's lives, and I forgot to mention that earlier on. It's that for me. It's everything. Every layer of this was so intentional. It was so perfect. Brandon Thomas, he was writing his Brandon to us, y'all.
I'm not acknowledging that.
I just said it because I remember how much you hated the rest of you when people kept saying that.
Oh man, I know. Great story. I cannot wait for this to keep going. This definitely needs a follow-up. I don't know when the rest is coming out, but yeah.
Any final thoughts?
No, just everybody should take a minute to read this. It's not a long story, but it is brilliant. The whole thing is.
And it's a really good thing to read. If you want to read a story about Black people that's not about slavery or the civil rights movement,
I mean, this one's kind of slavey too.
At least this is by a Black person, you know?
Yeah.
And not in like the Lena Waithe way where you watch Queen and Slim and you come out traumatized. This is just like, damn, they be out here doing it.
I mean, at first I was like, damn, these magicians are pretty cool. Like, I want some of this power. And then I realized what's happening. And I was like,
I don't want that overseer power. I don't.
Never mind.
So I guess that's all for this week's episode of True Believers.
Yeah, everybody, thank you for your support. I don't know what we're doing next week. I'm sorry.
Okay, no. Some people don't know how to stick to the plan. Hashtag Big Sean. We'll see you next week when we read Far Sector by acclaimed award-winning author N.K. Jemisin. Andrew would know that if he showed up to the rehearsal. We are available on all major streaming platforms. And if you really like the show, please leave us a review and continue sharing it with your friends. We really, really appreciate it. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion on what we read and watch, you can find a DM us on social media. You can email us, leave us a voicemail at 650-761-2629. You could join our Discord, even though we've established that we don't really check it. Happy Black History Month. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Thanks again.